This is GamesAtWork.biz with Michael Martin and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 296, Soothing Souls. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another exciting edition of GamesAtWork.biz, the show that on a weekly basis brings you all kinds of interesting stuffs from the internet around gaming technology and work and gadgets and Lego and all kinds of other stuff. And this is Andy Piper here coming to you from my backup lockdown recording studio on the west side of London. And joining me are my friends, Michael Martin. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Andy. Great to have you back.
And Mr. Michael Rowe.
Hey, Andy. How are ya?
I am doing okay. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
By the way, as okay as everybody can be in these crazy times.
Absolutely. And your voice is just so soothing for me right now. So this is good. We're going to have a good time.
Well, we're going to kick off, I think, quite literally, with my national sport, in principle, anyway, that you all call soccer, but we all call football, and a story of artificial intelligence gone sadly wrong.
This is so funny. They should call it headball.
Yeah, it wasn't football in this case, was it? Yeah,
it's perfect. It is the exact perfect thing of an AI image recognizer focusing on the wrong thing, whose tolerance was set too wide. Right, because the basic idea here is this is what, a tier two or tier three team in Scotland, I believe, that. They don't have their own cameramen, so they just set up automated cameras that are programmed to follow the ball, which makes sense. I think that's brilliant, right, for their local home matches. And let's just say the one ref probably was called, I won't say it, he had a shiny bright head.
A shiny round bright head that fooled the AI camera, basically, so it would him really, really well. So
constantly,
the ref cam, I guess, might be the way to call it, right?
And it was the linesman, right? Right, because he's just the one running up and down the
linesman,
side.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
So it's not even like if it was the main on field ref, it would be okay because he would
be somewhere near
the ball action. Yes,
action. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As the article ends, the article here ends, you should, I mean, if you all have a chance to go through the show notes and click through and watch the video, it's pretty funny. But the last sentence here is, you know, with no fans in attendance because of social distancing and lockdown, this was the only way for the fans to actually watch the match, but instead they were treated to 90 minutes of head watching, which is entertaining.
Quite
head watching, head
a
scratching.
Little levity.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like you said, it's AI gone a little bit wonky, right? Because when you're doing
slightly askew,
when you're doing your machine learning, you're trying to say do this, not that, and AI plus cameras kind of takes us to the next article that we've got to play with here too, a USA Today article of all things, that's looking at how your camera on your phone, and maybe LiDAR coming soon here too, would take a look at your skin and say, this is important. You might want to go get that taken care of, or this is just fine. Don't worry so much about it. So,
yeah, this one is interesting because I could have swore we've seen examples, and maybe it's just at the research level, not at more of a commercial level, of this for a couple of years now, right? As in five or more years.
I've seen this in the context of, fitting clothes, right?
Right.
So, and typically that's been with, but you've typically required some kind of overlay on you, some kind of, similar to the mocap costume. Where, then they can magically size you up. I haven't seen it so much. I mean, we've certainly talked about it as a possibility in the medical imaging sense. But it certainly sounds really interesting. You mentioned LiDAR, Michael, and I've got the iPhone 12 Pro with that actually, and there's a couple of really good apps for literally mapping out your room in detail now, and you can just literally spin around your room or slowly point the camera around your room and get a really detailed graphical map and image of the room. So there's definitely some interesting stuff that's being enabled with these new technologies.
Well, that's what was striking me too, Andy, is that now once you're adding LiDAR to the mix and you get more of that depth element that you could do here, something around skin cancer prevention, and for something like taking an image of your body that now you own, it's on your device, mm-hmm. you can choose to share it or not share it as you might want to do, is kind of important because your skin changes as you go along, and you're like, oh, was that dot there last year or 3 years ago? Right. This is actually quite incredible because it's really putting that power in the hands of the individual. And you're right, Michael, we have talked about things like this before, but the combination of getting that 3D element plus now the ability to maintain this in a way that you can have and trust and own yourself is, I think it's kind of an interesting new wrinkle, especially in our lockdown pandemic times where so much of our medical health has got to be done in a remote fashion anyway.
Yeah, and I seem to remember the prior examples were all, you know, just image based, mm-hmm. not necessarily using your cell phone. So I think that's the new wrinkle here.
Yep. So to speak.
Because I mean, this basic, so to speak, the basic concept's been around for almost a decade. A matter of fact, I was doing some quick research and I actually found a paper from 2003. We will not put that one in the show notes. But the basic idea of using image detection, the LiDAR aspect, I don't believe LiDAR is at a sufficient resolution yet, right?
To detect. For the human body, you mean?
No, for human body, I think it is, but for skin cancer, right, which would be a deformation on the top of the skin at, you know, 1 or 2 millimeters depth, right?
No, it's much more useful, certainly my experience in the last just playing around with it, is a kind of a room scale, furniture size, item scale, not down to that level, as you say. But I think we've seen these things just become more accurate over time. I mean, but essentially the technology you've got in your mobile phone now is the same as the technology or much more advanced than the technology that we had with Kinect a decade or more ago. So this stuff is just going to continue to
evolve. And there are use cases too, aren't there now, Andy, where you can measure, are you the 2 meters distance from your colleagues, or you can also measure how tall someone is. Yeah.
That's iOS 14, 0.2 has that, so that people who may not be, who may be partially sighted, there's an accessibility feature in the camera now, which can tell you, you know, whether somebody's 2 meters away or not. Mm-hmm. It's pretty neat stuff.
Stand back, mind the gap.
mind the 2 meter gap, exactly. Hey, so last week, guys, we talked about some fun things regarding audio, and Michael, you found a kind of interesting audio that will let you feel it through your feet.
Yeah, this was just one of those crazy things, and it was literally while we were talking last week, I think I found it, you know, like the very next day. the speaker shoes, right? And I guess the bass idea, it's at your base of your body when you're standing and lets you feel it in your feet as a method. I can see this actually in gaming much more than real sound, right? Inductive feet speakers, right?
That's where the article goes straight away, right? I mean, it talks about the fact that, you know, it's they're testing it out with Oculus Quest and VR and gaming and things like that. I find it entertaining the fact. I mean, of course, it makes sense because you need the low latency to make sure all the audio is synced. But
yes, you need your $25 low latency cable.
Yeah, you need
also like, known as USB-C
running down your back. You know, well, it's not even that. I mean, because of course,
it's got proprietary
magnetic connectors and stuff. So
yeah, well, the magnetic actually makes a lot of sense because if you're in a VR headset and you can't really see where you're going, you don't want to step too far and have the cable grab you and pull your feet out from underneath you.
Oh, too funny.
But yeah, this was, it was just one of those, I was going to say head scratchers, but I guess it's a foot scratcher.
It's a toe tapping good toe time. Well,
I love it. Actually, it's a great idea. Again, just like all the other gaming related rigs that you can wear, like the vests that let you feel when the bullets are hitting you in a game, or the 360 treadmill so you can move without moving anywhere. All of those, it's going to be really cool. Except by the time we get all of those ironed out correctly, everyone's going to go to AR instead. And then you won't need them because you'll just see what's around you.
Like, it's your whole body to vibrate to the tones and tunes through bone conduction, right?
Yes.
I was thinking too about our friend Andy and his vest when I read this article too, and I was imagining, okay, so you could have headphones, you could have an Oculus, you could have the shoes, you could have the vest.
And earbuds, and all of them with about a 2 millisecond difference in the sound coming to you.
Oh, man, that'd be just so just disconcerting. Just to really mess you up. Yes.
I think you meant our friend Ian when you mentioned that thing, but we do sound.
Yes.
We do.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Andy Stanford Clark.
Well,
could have been Andy SC.
I was thinking about SC as well, actually, but yeah, you're right. Ian has the vest, doesn't he?
Yes.
All right, hey, we're on tech, so let's not diverge too much from that. Next one here is the Raspberry Pi keyboard. So this is, we've seen examples of this sort of thing before, where it's the entire computer is inside a keyboard, and in this case, it's now a Raspberry Pi, and it looks like a halfway decent keyboard, too.
Yeah, this is kind of cool. I was right at the beginning when we were prepping the show, I was talking with Andy here without the vest, this would actually clean up like two gadgets off of my desk with my Raspberry Pi that I currently have that has its own external adapter with an external wireless keyboard and blah blah blah. I think this is a great idea. It's a current gen, I guess, Raspberry Pi 4 level built yep. into a keyboard of about mm-hmm. the same size roughly as the Apple Magic Keyboard. And, you know, it's not going to be a replacement for your gaming rig, but for basic computing, this is fine. I mean, I continue to be amazed how much a sub $100 or in the pure Raspberry Pi perspective, sub $40 device, how much power it has to just do basic computing.
I just want to
drive an HDMI monitor, blah blah blah.
I just want to play Gauntlet on it.
Well, you can put Windows 10 on it.
Can you?
There are people who have put Windows 10 on a Raspberry Pi. It'll mm-hmm. run like crap, but it will run.
Oh, don't need another Windows machine. Oh well. Rats.
You do if you want to play Gauntlet.
I know. Come on, Steam. Come to Mac. Come to the dark side.
Steam is on Mac, just not this game.
Yeah, well, come to Mac for this game.
Yes.
With all of our remote operations that we're doing, computers and otherwise, there is some intriguing new things that are now capable through your camera too. Gosh, there's a lot of camera stories this week, isn't it? And the Schneier on security story, Michael, that you referenced, I saw something similar to it this week too, was about how to figure out what your password is by observing you. And because the way you move indicates what you're typing in on the keyboard. And if you compare and contrast that through the standard dictionary, you might be able to discover its password with a zero.
This is, for longtime listeners, you may remember, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, I was at the RSA conference and they were talking about different ways of determining keyboard based off of the sound of your typing mm-hmm. and all kinds of things of that nature. Every one of these just scares the crap out of me at one level and fascinates me at the other level. Machine learning and the ability to identify sounds or movements, or, you know, I can just imagine the light reflection on your shoulders based off of, you know, the muscle movement in one muscle thread based off your middle finger typing down and assuming your hands on the home keys, right? So you add all of those up, and each one of them tends to be, you know, some low level of accuracy. And we say low, we mean less than 80% and greater than 70%.
Well, the good news from this snippet, which is posted on Schneider's blog, but it's a link to an academic paper and mm-hmm. some other content. The good news is that if you grow your hair long, then the accuracy is greatly reduced.
Exactly. And so during COVID, everybody can't get haircuts, right? But I assume it literally is seeing the muscle movement in the reflection off your shoulders, right?
Mm-hmm.
But each one of these things independently may be 70%, 80%. You add them up and you start getting better percentages. So if you add that to the one where you hear the typing of the fingers, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's just a two or three vectors and you can get your percentage way on up.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the stuff that just fascinates me, like I said, or scares the hell out of me, or both at the same time. Fascinating.
All right, well, let's move to something that's more relaxing and maybe more soothing. So in, again, our socially distant day and age, it might be difficult to get to a pet store and do something at the pet store, like find a pet and buy them and go from there. There is now a way for you to do just that with Aquaria, is that the plural of aquariums? Aquaria, I don't know. But you can
something
you,
like that.
You can put in
a fish keeper.
You play this game called Fish Keeper. It does look rather soothing. I'm not sure that I would spend a lot of time playing it. It reminds me a little bit of the Windows 90. What was it? 5, 8.
I had it on the Mac, the old Shark one, right, which was a fish tank too.
Yeah.
Right? All the different screensavers.
Exactly. So you could figure out what fish you want to put in there. And that, now this one, the fun part was you could, if you, I guess, get far enough along in the game, you can get into a little miniature sub and kind of tootle around the inside of your tank and check things out.
And it's available on Steam.
Yeah, exactly.
In the near future.
for those of you with
there's another game that actually I think is actually available on Steam on the Mac as well. Which has been very popular in the last month or so. It's called Virtual Cottage, where literally you don't do anything at all. You just watch a little kind of virtual cottage person just sitting in their cottage doing nothing, really. Or just kind of, yeah, there is no goal. Unlike the fish, you know, the fish one, you're actually tending to some virtual fish. But just this one just says, you know, just set yourself a goal, listen to some relaxing music and watch a little person potter around the virtual cottage. It's crazy.
Ah, that's fun.
But I mean, maybe these are the things that people are needing right now.
Yeah, I think so. We all need some distractions away from the news and events of the day, and it's nice to kind of do something that is soothing, much more soothing.
Can we stay on the gaming track just for a moment? Because I'm One thing we had in our show notes was news. I think last Friday it came out that a game called South of the Circle came out on Apple Arcade. Mm-hmm. It's by the same people that made a few other kind of, you know, arguably soothing, beautiful games like Inks, which is that one where you've got to kind of draw colored inks around a bit of paper.
Right.
But the cool thing about South of the Circle is it's a narrative adventure game. But the cool thing is they've used full 3D motion capture, but it's done in this kind of cartoon-ish screen printed style. So mm-hmm. it's like that game, that movie, what was it called, Waking something, where they kind of rotoscoped people.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the movie as you were describing. I was like, there was a movie that did that exact thing.
Yeah. But it's quite a pleasant game. It's a little stressful. I've been playing that on my iPad. But you just have to make some choices around some of the dialogue in order to branch the story in appropriate directions, really. But I was thinking, as we were talking about this just at the beginning, before we started recording, I've actually been playing more and more narrative short games recently. There's one called Over the Alps, which is also out on Apple Arcade and Steam and Switch, which is also kind of got this beautiful art style. There's another one I've played, which it's probably a bit more of our joint aesthetic, called Neo Cab, which is kind of Blade Runner-ish. You're a cab driver in this.
Also on Apple Arcade.
Yeah, but it's also that one. I think I played that one on the Switch actually.
Okay.
And then I played another one called Coffee Talk. And I played that one, I think, on the Xbox. So I'm trying to remember, or maybe on Windows. But that one, you're literally a barista, and you're just making people coffees as they come in, but you're learning about them through their interactions, and you know, you can help people, or you can, you know, serve them crap coffee. It's up to you.
Or both. You can help them and serve them crap coffee.
Well, I was just observing that I definitely, during this period of time, pivoted more into playing some of these smaller, much more self-contained, no massive DLC, no massive, you know, bombastic soundtrack, go blow everything up, which is, I do love those games, by the way. New Assassin's Creed next week. Can't wait. Yeah, I found myself gravitating more towards those. So I thought I'd throw in some recommendations for any of our listeners who might also be interested.
I like that. And we'll have them in the show notes too. So thanks, Andy, for those. I'm curious, do you feel like they help you, right? They take your mind off of things and you're not having to manage a whole supply chain worth of things or long story arcs or what have you?
So that's a good question. I mean, I found the Neo Cab in particular, I found I kind of knew the ending I wanted, or I sensed that I could get to and I wanted to get to. And there's a particular point towards the end where no matter which dialogue choices I made, it kept looping me in a circle until it forced me in a different direction to the one I wanted. And that was frustrating. But yeah, for sure. As I say, just having to, you know, tap a screen and choose just a couple of dialogue choices. That's been a lot less mental effort having said that, I do also love to engage in, you know, in much more deep action games as well. So
yeah. Michael, how about you? Have you found yourself in a similar situation as to Andy and enjoying the same kind of things too?
The couple that I've enjoyed lately, I actually tried Neo Cab, and I didn't get far enough along. It didn't hook me early enough, I guess, and I kind of dropped that one. And Over the Alps, I never really made it through that one. But I am looking forward to playing the one you just mentioned, whose name just slipped out of my head.
Assassin's Creed?
South of the Circle.
South of the Circle, yeah.
South of the Circle.
I actually really enjoyed Game of Thrones Tale of the Crows.
Mm-hmm.
Which was another. It was a game designed for you to wait. So it was very slow moving. There were a couple little story questions periodically, and it would unfold different storylines of people on the wall in Game of Thrones. Coffee Talk looks like that one might be fun, interesting.
Is described more as a visual novel. So you are doing a lot more reading. And then occasionally you do the mini game of like, which coffee should I make this person based on their mood or whatever. So that one is much more of a, even more of a consumption, you know, just, you know, interactive consumption than the other ones, I think.
Yeah. And then just for total mindless dip in, dip out, very quick relaxation, Towers of Everland. Which we talked about briefly before the show started on Apple Arcade, which is to me it's a combination of Doom and Diablo, but even less engagement required. So and not nearly as scary as Doom became in the later editions.
Oh yeah,
and not as complex as Diablo could be.
Talking of DLC, I just got the latest Doom DLC for Doom Eternal, and It's hard as heck, and and it reminds me that actually as a gamer I'm average at best. So yeah.
But I am enjoying, and I played it a little bit more again the other night, Beyond Blue. That is another relaxing one.
Mm-hmm. The first-person swimmer.
It's more than that. It's if you want your little virtual fish tank,
yeah,
this is an ocean full of whales and other fish. Yeah. But you're doing whale watching basically and scientific analysis on a pod of whales, and so far the mama whale has given birth to a calf and we're tracking the calf.
It's a very beautiful game, and even I've just opened the website and I will put obviously that in the show notes. Even that just it takes you, the website doesn't even bother telling you what it is. It just immerses you. I mean, you just open the page, you immediately get the videos or the, you know, CGI videos of the whales and sharks, and you're immediately, you know, absorbed into that world. It's a very good game. I agree with you.
What about you, Michael? Anything fun?
Yeah, you know, nothing like what you guys are talking about here. The things that I've been messing around with are games as silly as Lego Legacy these days, where it's not super engaged, but it lets you do some things, work through some things, get some cool little minifigs, and see what they can do. What I'm taking away from what you gents have just described kind of goes back, I don't know how far, but it goes back a ways in terms of the VR, AR kind of concepts that we've talked about before, about the immersion and the benefits around it. You know, like remember those games for burn victims that would kind of be transported into a soothing snowscape, right, to kind of take your mind off and then have that sort of benefit help quiet the mind and kind of move you in that direction. So that's pretty cool from what you've described. And as much as I was kind of, you know, giving the making fun version of Beyond Blue, Beyond Blue is such a beautiful game in terms of the way it's rendered and your ability to be just dropped right into the ocean and start exploring, you know, right there from the beginning.
Yeah, put on the headphones, noise canceling, so all you hear is that kind of relaxing sound of the waves and the bubbles underwater. And as somebody who loves snorkeling and swimming, mm-hmm. it's very relaxing.
Ah, so team, that's super cool. We're getting close to our end, but we have a couple more things that we wanted to touch on, not the least of which is we've got one more thing, apparently, from our colleagues and friends out in Cupertino that's going to happen here in relatively short order. So I suspect we're all going to tune in and see what's going on with the newest of the new shiny things coming out of Apple.
Apple Silicon, baby.
Yep.
New laptops.
So that could be kind of cool. And we'll see how much new shiny arrives in our collective homes. Staying on the Lego front for just a little bit, we've got a couple of intriguing elements here. There's a Lego Ideas project about the DNA double helix. Michael, I think you found this one. This is pretty darn cool.
Yeah. Now, this is old. I mean, it was last updated 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I found it in my feed somewhere. Somebody called my attention to it. And I just thought this was gorgeous, right? I'm a science buff anyway. You know, you know there's a local reference to it or connection to it, right? To the whole double helix with Crick and team.
And everyone else, yeah.
Yeah, and so I just thought this was really, really neat. Now, two things to realize. It's not to scale. And it's not a full strand. So.
And they never, made this one, did they?
No.
No.
I don't think it made it.
No.
It's got 31 days left as of when?
Yeah.
Maybe now.
31 days left as
I think they I think they've tried to reboot it. I'm not sure, but it didn't. Yeah. As you say, it was a while ago when it was originally posted, so I don't know whether else they'll get through. It's really interesting. I do like the we'll talk about another one in just a second, the more complex scientific and not in the next story's case, but sort of the adult collector branding that LEGO are using now with the dark boxes and the, you know, much more detail about the product and the actual inserts and booklets being much more beautifully produced. I think they've done that with the some of the Star Wars sets recently. We also have this one about the new Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters, which is over nearly 2,500 pieces. So it's going to be a big build, I think. It's based on the Ecto-1 from the as yet unreleased Ghostbusters Afterlife movie that was supposed to have been out in the summer. Yeah, they've been bringing out some beautiful sets, which are much more detailed recently.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I like this one too. And you know, speaking of boots, the I also saw that I think it was Reebok had announced some special Ghostbusters shoes that hit my feet.
But do they have sound?
They don't have sound, but they do have like wires and tubes coming out of them, kind of like the Drop Labs version as well. And and I like this Ecto-1 a lot. I've actually have the 2014 version that I built with my kids. This one is certainly much more involved. And I guess the one thing I'm a little sad about, but it makes sense, is that it's not minifig sized, right? So, you know, it's bigger.
Right.
And well, you know, I could print you some maxi figs once I get my printer working again.
I suppose you could. Well, let's wrap up with the bifecta once more. A new little bit of tidbit of information about the "Twas the Night Before Life Day" teaser for the Star Wars LEGO holiday special that's coming up. Good thing I'm on Disney Plus. I won't have to get another subscription for that, so I can actually watch it. So that's good.
It's on the list,
and I will have a look at this teaser here before too long, because it's. It's got all kinds of stuff, like Rey battling Darth Vader, doing all kinds of time travel-y sort of things.
This is why I'm not so engaged with this particular one. I mean, okay, the LEGO Star Wars stuff is very cute, but somehow I don't feel connected to this particular.
You don't want to cross the streams, the time streams.
Exactly.
It's got Lando.
I actually think it's cute. I'm looking forward to it. Having watched the original one, not when it originally came out, but it's about 5 or 6 years ago on YouTube, I'm glad this is not the same story. I'm so glad it's not the same story. Because I was like, they just made it in Lego.
Yeah.
But this looks fun.
Well, watch or do not watch. You can make that choice.
There is no try.
There is no try. All right. Well, guys, a lot of fun today with these stories and spending time with you, and really cool on the soothing games. There's a number of things to our listeners to give a try.
Well, and we'd love to hear from our listeners as well, in terms of if you've got recommendations that we should be checking out, or stuff that you've been playing recently. I do find it interesting, and although I've been discovering a lot more things through just sort of browsing the different stores that I have available to me, and I honestly, I tend to gravitate towards beautiful looking graphics and or unusual looking graphics. It's always worth hearing recommendations from other folks as well.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Well, all right. Come back again soon. Join us again next week on Games at Work. Dot. Biz.
See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz. Biz.